of being in your house, Lord, and Father, praying in your son's name, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us, Lord. I thank you, Father, you've called us to Newcastle Pentecostal Church, Lord. I thank you, Father, this is our home, Lord. Father, direct Cheryl and I, Lord. Father, let us walk in your spirit this morning, Father. Let us speak to your people through you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Extravagant. Your intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant. Ooh, intimate. Feel like moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant.
Almost feel like you go home now. You've kind of done it all. Hey? Yeah. Thank you, guys. That was just, oh, that was so precious. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Father, just let us stay, Father, in this place, Lord. This place, Father, at your feet, Lord. Father, let us stay in the peace of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, just come and let your Holy Spirit blanket us this morning, Lord. Father, open our ears, Lord, that we can hear, Father, your voice, Lord. Father, open our hearts, Lord, that we receive, Father, what you have for us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The thing about praise and worship and thanksgiving is unless you go to that place, you don't hear his voice. In thanksgiving, we acknowledge God's goodness. We say, God, you're good. Your mercies are endless. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just what you want to talk to your Father. It's like you're sitting at your dad's feet and you're saying to him, Dad, you're good. Dad, I thank you for what you did for me today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm at peace with what's going on in my life. Thank you, Lord, that I know no matter what I'm going through today, you're with me. When we talk about his praise, we talk about his greatness. If you don't know how to praise the Lord, read the Psalms. You know, he's the lifter of my head. You know, I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help. Like, just, it's nothing. You don't have to practice it. You just open the Psalms and read a psalm, and you're praising the Lord. Whenever I think of praising the Lord, I think of Paul and Silas in the prison. And I'm thinking, like, they didn't have any instruments. You know, I could see Silas there banging on the wall and Paul glorifying God, and they're in this sewer and it's dirty and they're starving, and all of a sudden the suddenlies of God and the Holy Spirit falls, and there's even salvation in the middle of all that. I thank God that's praise. And then when we worship the Lord, we acknowledge his holiness. We set him apart. To be holy is to be set apart. So when we worship God, we set him apart from everything else in our lives. There you go. And we set him apart and we say, Lord, you're everything I need. And worship unites our spirit with God directly. John 4:24 says that God is spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship's an attitude, where praise is an utterance. We speak out our praise. We shout to the Lord a new song. We praise him for what he's done, who he is, what he will do, who he was, where he's brought us. We praise him for his son. We praise him for whatever is good and perfect and whatever isn't good and perfect. We still praise him. And worship, Worship is to bow down and kneel. You don't worship with, you worship on your face. Not physically, not necessarily. But you worship, when you worship the Lord, you can worship the Lord by cleaning a toilet, if your heart's right. Are you doing it unto God, or are you doing it for works? You know, so that's the heart of worship. You know, remember that old song in the 90s? You know, bring me back to the heart of worship, right? Where it's not about performance, it's not about... I remember a minister one time talking about, she was kind of in the elite group in the States, and she went to this big meeting where all the big mucky mucks in the charismatic movement was there, and they were all sitting there waiting, and this lady, colored lady, comes out on the stage, and she kind of puts her fingers over the keyboard, and they're all just kind of looking at each other because they think, like, is this it? And she's kind, and then all of a sudden she starts to whistle off key. And everybody just, and the presence of God fell, and they're all on their face weeping. And she looks at her friend and says, I've got to learn to whistle. Like, it has nothing to do with your ability. It has to do with your heart, right? You know, like, that's all it is. Yeah. So I think that's all I have to say about praise and worship and thanksgiving. Okay, Cheryl. Oh, sorry. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Well, I got a lot of papers here. These papers are our prayer requests over the year. This little book has been prayed over many times, weekly. Except Christmas and New Year's happen to fall on a Monday, so pray at home. Like you don't, I don't know. But these are our prayer requests, and most of you are in here. When we started this prayer, it wasn't always on Mondays. That Mondays kind of evolved because Cheryl got busy, and we had to come when Cheryl came because Cheryl's idea, right? So we started on Monday mornings at 9:30 in the morning, and Sharon and I are often here by 7:38, just because we like to come and prepare to come before the Lord. Sometimes it's not what you'd think. Sometimes it's like... However, we get that all out of the way, and then when it's time to come before the Lord, we're ready. We've dropped it all. We've let it go. And there isn't any part of that that he doesn't know. He knows it all. So it isn't that it's hidden from him. It's just that we want to give it over and let him take it from us and replace it and restore what we need from him for the day, for the week, for the church, for our own families. So prayer covers a lot in our lives. Anybody that knows me, this is unusual. I have notes. I usually fly by the seat of my pants and prefer to do that, but some reason or other, I wrote it down somewhere. And so we see by the Lord's Prayer kind of how that works, how prayer covers a lot in our lives. Can we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I was shocked. My grandkids don't know that prayer. We all learned it in school of, I'm not sure what age it stopped. But my grands don't know that prayer. That's a new thing to them. They find it very interesting, and they listen, and then get on to the next hockey game or whatever's going. But at least grandma's had a chance to show it to them here or there. And so we see by the Lord's Prayer kind of how that works, where prayer covers a lot in our lives. The pastor in your church is the covering for your prayer needs. We pray for the people here because first Pastor Trevor and now Pastor Steph gave us permission to do so. Yes, we do have it in a book, but we keep that book away from other eyes. Nobody else knows what your prayer requests are. And we don't talk about it. It's kind of a written rule that what goes to God stays with God. And it's not the same as the other one. What happens in wherever it is stays. It's not the same. However, there could be some of that in that. No. Like I come to Pastor Trev, I don't know even when it was. It's a while ago now. And I just had a sense that God wanted us to pray for families in this church. And you are our family. And when you come here once, you're considered family, even so. We'll see your face, and we'll lift you up to the Lord. That's often how it works. Like, we don't have sometimes a set list where we play all the same songs or whatever. We just kind of try to be led by the Holy Spirit and to go that way. See, this is where I get off on notes. I don't, where am I? Sorry. I guess I don't need to apologize this. The prayer we have on Mondays came about when I sensed that God wanted us in this church to pray for families. And everyone here in this church is part of our family. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, grandparents, grandchildren, most of all, and most all of our emotional needs and sometimes physical needs come out of the need to forgive or harboring unforgiveness. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And so we have a choice to forgive. That's our choice. God never makes you. He allows you to choose, because the best benefits are when you choose to forgive. Sometimes you don't even know that you got stuff in there. Like, sometimes you don't understand that the way you feel about Great Aunt Molly is out of, like, you didn't forgive her when she told you you were fat that day. Well, I'm just saying, those are ordinary things that happen to people. And sometimes that hearing of Aunt Molly's saying to you keeps you fat, because you're trying to kind of either fulfill what she said, but we're not, by rebelling against it. God always forgives us because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. He encourages us to forgive as he forgives us. Present tense. Not a one-time deal. Or it's not a catchphrase. Oh, well, you need to forgive them and move on. That's really hard to do sometimes. Sometimes it's easy, depending on the presence of God in the situation. Like I say, sometimes we don't even know what's in there, in our hearts, like as far as unforgiveness goes. I remember one particular year, not very long ago, well, you'll find this funny, I used to be an athlete. I did. I was actually pretty good. But I hurt my knee in a track meet, and later years, that thing kicked up and really started to bother me with physical pain. And I went to a place called, well, it's called Healing Rooms, and I was going to get healed for my knee. So I went, and they explained to me what happened, and one of the people there said to me, you wouldn't be harboring unforgiveness against anyone, would you? And I said, no, I don't think so, no. And he said, well, let's just pause and pray about that for a bit. And so they did, and then I saw this face. Well, the face was my dear coach in track. And I thought, Mrs. Mogan? Like, what? Oh, I did. I blamed you when I hurt my knee because you didn't tell me how to land properly. So we went through a little prayer of I choose to forgive so-and-so for such and such. And guess what? I don't have pain in my knee anymore. I walked out of that place without that pain in my knee because of forgiving that lady from when I was in my teens and didn't understand what forgiveness was, right? But I carried it all that time. It was just occupying a little corner. And what harm did it do? Well, it wasn't good to be limping. So it's a choice. I could have hung on to that forever and didn't. So I'm really grateful. We should go looking to forgive and to be forgiven. To the Lord first, and then if necessary, to the person. Sometimes it isn't always good to go and confess to someone what you're harboring against them. Sometimes it's just good to deal with God on it and leave him to deal with the other part. But I'll guarantee you, when you see that person again, they'll know something's changed in your heart because of the way you see them and the way you respond to them. They'll know. They'll know you forgave them. They won't be able to maybe put words on it, but they'll know that you are different because you let it go. So it is a choice, okay? And so then the next one I'm supposed to go into is deliverance. That's a tricky one. Deliver us from evil. Deliverance sometimes conjures up things that we don't really want to look at. But deliverance is the pastor's call in your church. If you've got something that's really bothering you and you can't get over it or you can't do it, you need to talk to your pastor. And what is it, deliverance? Well, it's kind of like unforgiveness that's been around for a long time. Kind of like a sliver that gets under your skin and it festers and causes infection. Sometimes you need help to have that removed. And so we don't kind of get into that kind of prayer on Monday mornings very often. In fact, never. just so you know. And but it's not something to be afraid of, but to be informed and be prepared. If it's to be carried out, you'll know if you have something that's plaguing you. And I think I was going to go here, wasn't I? Might have to change my spectacles. It's a circus up here. Okay. The sweet smell of prayer. This is a little devotional that I came across, and I thought it was very fitting for today. Then another angel with a gold burner came and stood at the altar, and a great quantity of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people, to be offered on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of the saints ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Surveys show that an overwhelming majority of people pray. Believe it or not, even many self-described atheists admit to sending an occasional spirit smoke signal toward heaven. Yet, to a large number, prayer feels like nothing more than a self-talk out of religion, mixing up a lot of God's words and aiming them at God, all in the elaborate attempt to trick ourselves into feeling better about our lives.
Does God hear our prayers? Does prayer make a real difference? I felt like my prayers were falling on deaf ears or bouncing off the ceiling is a common complaint. Perhaps you felt this or said this to yourself. So what can we conclude? Is prayer nothing more than superstition? Is it merely a fancy kind of religious mumbo-jumbo, a silly exercise in wishful thinking? Look again at the passage above, and that's in Revelation 6, 1-8. Notice the prayers of the saints mixed with the incense of ascending into the very presence of God. Not sweet-smelling incense alone, but not mere religious ritual, but sacrifice permeated by prayer, desperate cries, longings for God, fervent expression of love and trust. No wonder the scripture says the Lord delights in the prayers of the upright. Well, you're in.
Shocked. You can leave that there, Cheryl, if you want. Oh, Cheryl. It's like comedy relief. So the next thing we're going to talk about as far as prayer goes is salvation. And the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I'm going to give you my just Reader's Digest version of my testimony when I came to Christ. Okay, I was born in a family of nine. My mother actually gave birth to 12 children, but three of them didn't survive. My dad was a World War II veteran, and my mother was a Jehovah's Witness. All of my sisters became Jehovah's Witnesses. I just couldn't figure out how anybody could be that happy all the time. So my mother and I were like oil and water, let's say. And anyway, but I always tried to do everything right. Did I make it? No, I didn't. I did a lot of things wrong. I was living on my own by the time I was 16. I lived out west for a while, and on my way home one time from out west, I stopped here in Ontario to say hello to my mother, and that was 35 years ago. So I married a gentleman here from Ontario, and his mother was, she was a United Church lady, and she carried her Bible everywhere she went. And I figured that they were Beaver Cleaver's family, because I definitely wasn't. So I took my cues from Beaver Cleaver's family, and I thought when we got married and then we had our first son, I thought, well, everybody in Beaver Cleaver's family baptized their children. So I lived here in Orono, and I called the minister at the United Church, and I said, I want to baptize my son. And he goes, oh, well, you know, what church do you go to, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, none. I said, I just think that that's what you're supposed to do. So anyway, that was my first step towards the Lord. Because little did I know, because God will set you up, the minister at the United Church was spirit-filled. And what do? You can't just baptize your child and leave them there, because that isn't the rules. So I started going to church, and my husband and I went to church, and we did everything right. We did all the children's ministry and the youth ministries and the worship teams and the choirs. And so anyway, then when my son was a year old, he developed something called ITP, and it's idiopathic whatever, whatever, meaning they don't know why he had it. We were a week at SickKids, and he looked like a hemophiliac. If you touched him with your hand, it would leave a print of a bruise on his hand. When he was sucking his soother, the blood would run out of his mouth. Like, he was in a room at SickKids where there had to be a nurse 24/7. If one went out, another one came in. That's how serious it was. His blood platelet count went down to 3,000, and it should have been between 150 and 350,000. So very, very close to death, okay? Then, so that was the first thing. Then my sister-in-law, who was 28, developed cancer and died. Then my dad, who was 66, he developed cancer and died. Then my mom, who was 61, died of a heart attack. This all happened in a 2-year period, 18-month period. needless to say, I was angry at God. I was broken. I would say, in a bit of depression. I don't know how I put one foot in front of the other than the fact, oh, and I forgot one. My husband, who was when he was 19, had a motorcycle accident, and he blew out his aortic valve. So he had to have a prosthetic valve put in at 19. And when I was down east at my dad's funeral, we found out that his valve was recalled, meaning that most people who had that particular valve, the valve broke and they died instantly. So all this is weighing in on me, and I can remember sitting in my living room, and everybody was in bed, and saying, God, why? What are you doing? And I turned on the TV, and you're going to laugh, but Jan and Paul Crouch came on, and it's Praise the Lord. And I'm like, are you, like, is this real? Like, Jan with the big purple hair and the eyelashes. And, well, you know what? Someone got on there and they said, you know, like, and they had a worse story than I ever thought of having. And they said, but I called out on Jesus. And I said, God, if you're there, show me you're real. And the presence of God fell on me and I physically burned. And I said, this has to be real. The works isn't real. The doing the right thing isn't real. That was real. Was I instantly transformed? No, I went through years of depression and antidepressants. But you know what? God never left me. So we have to, when we look for salvation in the Lord, we have to humble ourselves and ask for repentance. Now, have I sinned since I came to the Lord? Oh, gosh. Did I open my eyes this morning? Like, yes. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're perfect. And just because you sin doesn't mean you're not redeemable. God says that if you seek his face, you turn from your ways, He's faithful to come in. Someone told me one time, and it always stuck with me, that Jesus wants Peter's repentance. Peter denied him at the end. He said, I don't know that man. Not Judas's remorse. Judas was remorseful. He wasn't sad because he sinned. He was sad because he got caught. So, like, it isn't that either one, sin is sin. Whether it's big sin or little sin, doesn't make any difference. And we all fall short, right? But if we turn around and we repent, if we turn around and say, God, I did it again, and we seek his face, he's faithful, he's faithful, he's faithful. If you've never prayed to the Lord and asked him, people say, oh, come into my heart. Well, it's not physically your heart the Lord comes into. It's your whole being. He comes in and he fills your life. And do you wake up some mornings and think, oh, I've got to go to the altar again because I'm not saved today? Yeah, you do. But you know what? God's there. He knows who you are. So sometimes we don't listen very well, and that's the biggest problem. But you know what? He's faithful to keep repeating it. He sometimes the Holy Spirit will just keep reminding you and keep reminding you and keep reminding you. You know, he doesn't leave you or forsake you. I'm no better than anyone else. But you know what? Christmas, Jesus was born for me. He died for me. He died for all of us. And like when you accept that and you realize it, and you sit there and you think, God's awesome that he did that with me in mind. You know, all those old hymns above all, if you don't know me, my passion is worship. My passion is music. My call is prayer. But to me, they're the same. and you listen to those old hymns, you know, like those people. Sometimes I'll go online and I'll read up on whatever happened that person wrote that, you know, like that hymn, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." Have you ever, like, he's from Port Hope, like he lived Shreven, like you see Shreven Road and all this kind. He lived in Port Hope. The man who wrote that song lived in Port Hope. And he was in England. He was born in England. And he was engaged to be married, and his fiancée died. She drowned. And he just, he went, and he said, you know what, I'm going to get, so he moved to Ontario, and he dedicated his life to serving, to worship. And his mom was sick, and he wrote her a song. "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." So, I didn't want to cry, because if anybody knows me, they could hire me out as a professional mourner, because I cry. That's me. I'm a crier. Let's see what else. I think that was it, Cheryl. It's your turn. I'm taking you.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is like a Scylla pause and ponder that. Advancing the kingdom. What does that mean, really? When we first come to faith, accepting Jesus in our life, and asking him to come into our heart and our life, that's the beginning. It's important to then make room for God every day, minute by minute. And you make a choice to invite him into every day. Like I say, it's not a one-time deal. I used to get saved every time there was an altar call because I felt so bad about myself. Now a lot has changed. You can't get rid of me anymore because I believe in who I am. And I believe in the crazy. And I believe in the stature. And I believe in who I am and what I've overcome. And you know what? That's how he created me. And that's how he's developed me. But there was a time I got saved every time the preacher gave the call. And there would be weeping and, oh. Well, then I learned that I didn't need to be sad about it. It's just okay to be me. And when I need him, he's there. He never leaves me. I walk with him day by day. And like I say, here I go back to my notes and I don't know where I am. But I know where I am in God. And that's important. And it was something Sharon was saying about how he is so good. He is so good. And that's what I think he wants all of you to know, is that's how he thinks of you. He thinks of you as so good. His life on earth here now is through each of you. When you make him part of your life, then he's part of your life, and the people you touch are the people he touches. You might not be going around praying for everybody that you see and laying hands on, and, you know, it could be just a, "Hi, how are you?" And that person never had that. And that's the Jesus that they see that day because you did that out of your heart. It's not all big and grandiose things. It's just ordinary life. And I am so grateful to stand here today and say that, oh yeah, I still get bent out of shape when I know I've really messed up and have to come to the Lord and repent and get rid of that. But I rise up a new person again, and that trash is underneath my feet, and I'm standing on it taller than I ever was. And some of us that have had things in our past, things that have devastated us, Sharon, I'm not going to get into my testimony, but part of my testimony is not believing who
I was. I believed I was rejected. Totally. Am I through all of that yet? No. No, I'm not. If there's rejection in the room, I'll pick it up. But I've learned to know that it's not me. Always. Sometimes it is, and sometimes I feel bad about so-and-so said this to me or whatever like that. But I quickly get over it now. Because I do find that a lot of people feel rejection because that's the enemy's game. He wants to make you feel like you are nothing, but God does not say that. He says, I'm something. He created me. He created me just the way I am and for his purpose once I've accepted that. And I will live for him. And I did all that without notes.
Might be the part you remember about the whole thing, huh?
Okay. So, but minute by minute, we make a choice to walk with him and to let him walk this life journey with us and with you. Coming to church is a good choice. Studying the Bible is a good choice. The Bible tells us who God is. And who the Holy Spirit is and who Jesus is. And it's good to know who he is. Because once you get to know who he is, the enemy of your soul can't fool you into thinking wrong thinking anymore. Because if you know who God is and his character, that's who it is for you. It's not what the enemy tells you in trying to take you off the course. He is personal. My God is personal. He wants to be personal with you. He's relational. He wants to hear from you, and he wants to talk to you. I would say every day he has something for you. Sometimes you know he's there, and sometimes he tells you he's there. And what he sees in you and what he wants you to know about yourself. Prayer is not just a one-way. You are talking to God, but it's a conversation to take part in, to talk and to listen. And when we go to church, it's not always the same preacher, speaker. Sometimes there are people who are sent to you or us just one time. They carry a specific anointing or a specific message from God. And if they offer an altar call or offer to pray for you, my suggestion is to you is to take them up on that. Because just to make the choice to accept that. And the reason I say that is that sometimes that opportunity only comes by once. And if that person, let it maybe prophetic, like these are all just different terms of kind of people's flavor of teaching and or anointing that they carry. But sometimes it only comes to you once. And you'll know if it's for you. You'll have that pitter-patter in your heart. You won't know what to do. You won't know what to say. You won't want to come forward or you won't want to open your heart in your seat. But usually that's an indicator that God has something for you through that person. And so take God up on the offer. Grab it to grow. Be obedient. It's better than sacrifice. But it's not all lost if you don't respond. Because God will keep presenting an idea. He'll keep presenting a way, an opportunity, a chance to change. He usually keeps giving us that chance until we actually say yes and catch it. Sometimes you catch it in your spirit. Sometimes it's taught. But I think it's more important to catch it. And it requires, because it requires action. Okay? I'm a great believer in the prophetic outwalking of if God has a line in front of you, he wants you to cross it. I think you just should stand to your feet and cross that line. Just because you'll remember that step. Because you physically did it. And it will affect your spirit. It's a choice. It's all a choice. Prayer is a choice.
And so I hope today is a day that you choose to grow
and that you choose to go ahead in God.
Maybe it's salvation. Maybe you'd like to be sure that you know him. Maybe you'd like to be spirit-filled, speaking in tongues. Maybe you're having trouble forgiving and you'd like someone to help you with that, someone to pray with you, agree with you. They're not doing it for you, but they will help you. He's here for you. And if you feel like you have a need, or even if you don't, if you would like prayer, Sharon and I would be happy to pray with you today. Or any day, just let us know by cell phone. Come on Monday, 9:30. But if today is your day, and there's something you want to deal with, or something you want to look at, or some line you have to cross that you just want somebody to go with you, you're not sure, we're here. And we're here for you always. And we will see you. We'll sit around the table back there, walk the aisles, or we touch every seat. And it's like, it's just such a privilege to carry you in prayer. We love you. We love you a lot. And sometimes we got funny ways of showing it. But ultimately, we're praying for you as a family. And this year of 2017 is almost over. I'd encourage you, if you know anything that's holding you back, don't carry it forward. Get rid of it. God's here for you. We're going to have Liz and Troy come and just pray or play a little bit more for us. We just really appreciate, and Tim, the worship today. It just really, we gave them a list of topics, and this is the set list they came up with. Now that, to me, is amazing. That is a Holy Spirit orchestrating a service, and I'm just really blessed to be part of that. So thank you, people. Thank you. Bless you. And so if there's anyone here, we're here if you need us. And if not, go in peace and go in the love of the Lord, because he goes ahead of you every step. Bless you.